Hello, everybody. This is Kenny Evans and David Berry, and welcome to It's What You Keep. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you learn how to keep more of the money you earn so you can turn your income into lasting wealth.
Okay, Ken.
Hey, Dave.
So today we are going to talk about goal setting, you know, how we set our goals and what goals are all about. And so we're gonna really, you know, kind of nail down what we should do. When we talk about getting financially prepared for our futures, we have to set goals. And so today we're going to talk about goals. So, Ken, tell me,
all right,
what is one of the goals that you remember setting and achieving?
That's a great question. It's actually not directly financially associated, but I think it's something I can explain easily. As I probably have mentioned 3,000 times, I'm a triathlete. If I haven't mentioned it, triathletes love to talk about triathlon. And a goal that I set recently was to finish an Ironman triathlon. And what that is, for those who don't know, it is a race where you do swimming, cycling, and running all in the same race, all on the same day. And in an Ironman, it is a 2.4-mile swim in open water, some kind of open water, ocean, lake, whatever. Then you come out of the water and you hop on your bike and you ride your bike for 112 miles. Oh, wow. And then you, I know, it's insane. And then, because that's not, you know, because you haven't beat your body up enough, you finish the bike ride and you run a marathon, a whole marathon, so 26.2 miles or 40 kilometers. Now, for a lot of people, you know, doing a marathon by itself is a big deal. It is a big deal. Doing it after swimming for 2 miles and riding your bike for 100 is a whole nother level of stuff.
Wow.
And yeah, so that was a goal of mine. And I accomplished it. I've actually finished 3 Ironman races, but the latest one was in November of 22. And really, it was a fantastic, fantastic experience. So that was a goal I set and that I met, just in a nutshell.
So when you set that goal, I mean, because that's a lot, you know, running a marathon, swimming, and then biking, did you have to set smaller goals to achieve this larger goal of accomplishing this triathlon?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it is a fantasy, I think, for people to believe that you can just show up to an Ironman. I'm sure there are people who can do it, you know, professional athletes who work out regularly or, you know, intensely. But the reality is you need to train for something like that. You need to practice. And for me, I got a coach. What we did was set, you know, interim goals, and I trained for a year. I mean, you have to commit to training for a long time, because I was not in the shape to just walk in and do all of that. I'd been on 100-mile bike rides before, and I felt like crap afterwards. I felt great because I finished it, but it was, you know, it was a lot. So yeah, we had to set, you know, interim goals about, okay, for month one, let's just, you know, month one and two, let's just get you in some kind of basic shape.
Right.
Let's find out, you know, kind of where you are fitness wise, and you take tests. You actually take tests to say, okay, this is where you are as a swimmer. This is where you are as a runner and a cyclist. And then they base your training on that and your goals on that, based on where you are and then where you want to, you know, how you, you know, that ultimate goal of finishing that overall race.
No, cool. Cool. So why do you think goals are helpful? Setting goals are helpful.
Well, it certainly, it breaks it down. You know, it's the whole elephant and how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So it's by setting interim goals, it makes it a lot less intimidating. So, you know, we can relate this to financial goals, obviously. Saying that I want to have $1 million and you've got zero or worse than that, you've got, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 in debt. It's not a light switch. You have to figure out how do I eat this elephant? So it's the same with you know, same with training for Ironman, same with what I think for with your finances. It's like, what are the steps I need to take? What small victories can I have? Honestly, I mean, you know, again, just, you know, relating it back to Ironman, if I go into the pool and I start to what I call swimming and the coach says, just stop. Let's, you know, the first thing they did was take me to the shallow end of the pool. And I, you know, I'm not afraid of the deep end of the pool. I can, you know, doggy paddle, but I can't necessarily move forward. They moved me to the shallow end of the pool and they said, okay, you're going to sit here and what you're going to do is you're going to grab this kickboard, which is a board you hold to keep your body, and you're just going to kick your way across the pool back and forth.
Right.
Or, you know, so little things like that. And so the first time where I was able to, they said, okay, now put together what we've shown you, your arm movements, you know, keeping your legs up and swim across the shallow side of the pool without having to, you know, stop, without having to touch the bottom, without being out of breath. That was a great, you know, interim goal to reach. And so it, now granted, that was a far cry from jumping in a lake and swimming 2.4 miles, but it was at least, you know, at least a measure of I've made some progress. And I think that's critical in whatever goals we set. And I think, you know, when we look at finances, we can do the same kind of thing. If we say, okay, what's my first interim goal? If I'm $20,000 in debt and I want $1 million, I'm thinking maybe I figure out how to get out of debt first.
Right. You know?
And maybe if the debt is you know, several credit cards or a student loan, that I break it down even further. And we say, okay, so my first interim goal on my way to making $1 million, having $1 million, is let me pay off one of these credit cards. And then never use it again.
Right.
I mean, I literally have you know, a credit card that I used for a specific purchase that I don't even want to accidentally use again. So I actually froze it at the account at the bank. Not, you know, sometimes you do that because you think you lost it and someone else will use it. I do it so that it doesn't accidentally get used. And what do I mean by accident? I mean, it could be on. I had this happen. I could have a card associated with a service that I have that only renews once a year, and it's an automatic renewal. So now I've got this card on there. Forget about it. Forget that it's there. And the renewal comes up, and they just charge the card.
Right.
A lot of these companies aren't going to give you a heads up. You said, okay. So they charge the card, and the card that I'm trying to not use so I can get it to zero, or I've gotten it to zero, and I don't want to use it anymore and hurt my progress, I froze it.
Right, right.
So it's setting these interim goals in favor and in pursuit of the larger goal is how I think that is helpful. So, you know, we know where we want to be. We have a bigger picture. And I often call that your why. You hear that in triathlon a lot. You hear, what's your why? Why are you doing this?
Right.
And that is what drives you when you in triathlon, when you have to get up one, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, which, by the way, Dave, I did today too. I did get up at 4 this morning so I could get my workout in before our meeting.
Right, I got up just 5 minutes ago. Just got a cup of coffee.
Okay. Well, we're both here. So that's really what counts. But when you don't want to get up, or you don't feel, you know, you don't want to get up and get your training clothes on, and you think about that why. You think about, do I want it bad enough so that I can go to this event and perform?
Right.
And that's what gets you out of bed. And it's the same with your finances. But when you have that card and you know, do I want to go out to have this $100 lunch? You know, my wife and I like to go to this restaurant near our home. And without exception, every time we go there, we spend $100. We just joke, $100, $100 is going to cost $100. And it's just the two of us. But, you know, especially if you have a drink or something or two, restaurants and food are expensive. And we like the experience. We like the, you know, it's a small little neighborhood tavern. We know the people there. Mm-hmm. And so it's socially cool, but it is not in favor of our overall financial goals.
Right.
And we have to think about, you know, will this be enough to be, you know, when 10 years from now, when we spent, you know, $10,000 in restaurants, where we could have put that $10,000 in a stock market or a savings account or pay off some debt.
Sure. Yeah.
Will this be, you know, so the overall goals helps give you a picture of where you want to be. And whether it's crossing a finish line at an Ironman, you know, in time, because it is a timed event, or feeling financially secure that you literally wake up not worrying about money anymore. So that's where they help.
Right.
I think.
So when we accomplish our goals that we've set, even these smaller goals, like in your triathlon and in your financial picture, what does accomplishing these goals do for you mentally, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's euphoria. I mean, you know, it like I said, it's tough at first when you want to, you know, in terms of getting up or getting started, in the middle of a workout, I know, I'll have a workout set up sometimes, a 3-hour bike ride. Right. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to do that on an in day, you can train indoors, right? Doing 3 hours on a bicycle trainer indoors is gotta be one of the most boring things on the planet. I don't care what else you got going, movies, music. It's just not fun.
Not the same as being outside.
Right. And so as you're riding and you hit the 30-minute mark, you realize I still have 2.5 hours to go. It can be very, very intimidating. And that's right. where you know, you look to those goals again. And same with financials. You know, you got $20,000 in debt. You pay off a $500 credit card. You're like, great. I only got $19,500 to go. But that accomplishment, when you hit it, when I finished that 3-hour bike ride, I'm tired, I'm sweaty, but I'm like, I did it. Now you can't take that accomplishment away from me.
Right.
And the same with, you know, finishing off, paying off your debt. Have you reached $1 million yet? No. But think about the feeling that you have mentally and emotionally when you say, I paid off $20,000 worth of debt. That is not only gives you a feeling of accomplishment, but it helps to drive. It's like a snowball effect almost. It helps to drive you to say, I'm capable of this. And I can expand this thing. I can keep doing this and I will eventually reach my goals.
Right. So, you've got a small sense of success and now it continues to the larger sense of success.
And those feelings, I know there's a saying about success, you know, and what it does for success. But yeah, that's exactly it. Once you have a little bit of success, you can get focused on doing it again. You want that feeling again, over and over.
Right, right.
So you know, in talking about you know what goals do for us. I mean, I've given some examples here. Of triathlon and maybe about you know some examples of financing, but I mean there's more to it, isn't it? I mean how can we define setting a goal? What would you say are specifics around goal setting?
Right, you know, so there is an acronym. I've been reading, you know, this and then in working and setting goals at work, and then in our personal lives, one of the things that we should consider when we set goals is all of the things that go into defining that goal. And there's an acronym that, you know, we use it at work. It's called SMART. You know, goals should be SMART goals. And SMART, the acronym stands for, the S is specific. You know, the goal should be a specific goal that you have in mind. So when you look at your financial picture, you can say, well, I want to be financially stable this year, or I want to reduce my expenses this year. Well, that's a good goal, but it's really, you know, not specific enough. You know, if you want to say I can cut my expenses by 10%, you know, this year. I want to reduce this credit card or eliminate this credit card this year. But that is a very specific goal. It helps you focus instead of having something very wide. So it should be specific. The M is measurable. It's something that you can measure. If you can't measure your goal, you don't know where you are, or are you close to achieving it, far away from achieving it? With the example of eliminating a credit card, if you've got a $10,000 credit card, well, that's something that you can measure. It's $5,000 now, $4,000. So the goal should be something that you can measure, specific and measurable. Now, the A is achievable. Now, achievable is something that is very personal to the individual. So something that's achievable for one individual is not achievable for another individual. So it's got to be something that you can achieve. So one of the examples that we think we talked about this is, if you want to set a goal of being able to dunk a basketball, you know, within this year, if you're 6'3", well, that's probably achievable for you. But if you're 4'11", maybe not.
Wait a minute, wait. You mean I can't, at 4'11", I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, do a reverse? I'm going to test that. I don't know. I'm not 4'11", but I think we have to figure out if that's absolutely true. But go ahead. I get what you're saying.
So you have to really see if that is something achievable for you. So setting our financial goals of eliminating credit cards, reducing, you know, frivolous spending, those are something that's achievable. And realistic.
Okay.
Now, realistic is something that's achievable for anybody. Is it realistic to reduce expenses or eliminate a credit card? Well, that is realistic. But if your goal is to defy the laws of gravity, well, that's not very realistic.
Oh, so that sounds like the 4'11 guy dunking a ball. Defying something, but
so it has to be realistic. And the last T in SMART is time bound. You have to have a time limit. Well, it's best to have a time limit on achieving this goal. And you can break it down into smaller goals too. Like if you have a larger goal of setting a triathlon or running a triathlon, well, your smaller goal is to get this particular swim time down, or this particular run time down. That's a smaller goal. And then you can set a time limit on that. So for when you look at your finances, you can say, well, I want to eliminate this credit card by in the next 6 months. And the goal is to do a smaller goal is to eliminate it $500 a month or something like that. Well, that's a specific goal. It's time bound because there's a time limit set on the larger event and smaller events that you can achieve.
Okay. Well, I mean, that all makes sense. And I think that last one, time bound, is critical. Otherwise, there's no, there's no motivation or no push to get you to say, I have to finish it by then. I think some people do operate too better when they know they have to do something by a certain amount of time.
Yeah, no, that's right. Because if it's not time bound, you can never get started.
Right. Exactly. You need to set some self-set boundaries around it. And that's interesting. So I think overall it's a great approach. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound. And SMART is a clever acronym. It sounds to me like this isn't something you can just arbitrarily, you know, throw in the back of your mind. It sounds to me like you really need to write this stuff down.
No,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that you need to.
Absolutely. That makes it real.
That you need. Right. So you it makes it concrete. Yeah, by having it written down somewhere. And it does, I mean, you know, however you write it down, like, you know, whether you, I'm a older guy, I like pens and paper, so I like to write stuff down. But, but you know, having it somewhere you can see it makes it more real. It can be on your computer, it can be on your app on your phone, but you have something that you can reference. So as you're moving through your goals, you've got something written.
And if it's written, you can update it because you've got to mark your progress. Good, if it's something that you're measuring, you know, track it.
That's a good point. Almost like they do on those fundraisers. You've got that thermometer that gets colored in, or you know, whatever. And you have some kind of physical record and some kind of physical reference that you can have. Whether it's on, you know, you could post that on your wall in your office, on your closet, your bathroom mirror.
No, even. That's right.
Somewhere where you can see it. Somewhere you're more likely to see it on a day to day basis.
Yep, it always keeps it in front of you.
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah, the idea of creating specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound goals, and then writing them down.
Right.
And having somewhere physical. So where would you say we could get ideas about what goals to set? I mean, when we start talking about money, for some people, it can be, you know, brand new. It's like just the whole concept of saving money might be new. I tried to explain to someone who was talking to me about who should teach finances, and they're like your parents. And I said, well, if your parent was a black man being raised in Mississippi in 1930s, like my father was, they didn't get to learn a lot about money, right? So it wasn't that he wasn't necessarily the best resource to figure out how to save, and certainly not how to invest or to start your own business, just because he hadn't been exposed to it. And that's an extreme example, but you understand what I'm saying. So where do we get ideas for how to set goals?
Right. So one of the things that we should do is you have to find somebody that is doing what you want to do. You know, there's a saying that the wise walk among the wise. So you have to look at somebody who is, you know, financially stable and understand how they are financially stable and say, okay, well, how can I do that? You know, can I walk alongside you and set similar goals? You know, find people that are doing what you want to do and that have the same mindset as you. And they can help you along setting these particular goals. Now, your goals have to be unique to you. Just because someone has a particular goal, a financial goal, that may not be in your wheelhouse. You've got to adapt their practices and procedures to your lifestyle. You know, if they say, well, I want to cut, you know, my travel expenses, you know, by 30%, and you say, well, I don't travel. Well, I don't have any travel.
That's not the one to follow, right? You remind me of something I used to tell people when I was trying to find my way financially. I'd say, I'm not getting, there's, you know, I don't know if this is still used, but they used to talk about quote unquote Skid Row. Yeah. The place like this, I guess, make-believe or real street where the people who were there were poor and they didn't have money. And it's like, that's not the place you go for your advice, right? So right. Yeah, if you're trying to cut your travel expenses, going to somebody who doesn't travel is not the move. I get that.
Yeah, you want to find somebody that is doing what you want to do. And, you know, there may be several people. You have to find that person or that organization where you can fit in. And then they will have, you know, lots of different, you know, strategies that they've used, obstacles that they've overcome. And you can say, well, I've got the same thing. And so I can try to set my goals alongside of someone else's goals that are similar to mine, not exactly the same, but very similar. And that helps us kind of follow a path. And if you've got a partner, you know, like a spouse or a friend or a family member that's doing the same thing, you can help keep one another accountable, which is extremely helpful.
That goes back to, you know, some of the stuff we were saying about writing stuff down, but certainly that's part that you can always, and it's just the reality of things. You can always cheat, right? You're cheating yourself, which is not good. But you can say, okay, I'm going to move this goal. I can move this time bound. But yeah, having someone who is holding you accountable. I mean, even, you know, just to touch on triathlon one more time, because that's what we do. Ooh. But my wife, who is not a triathlete, is very supportive of my triathlon life, right? She's what we call a SAG and supplies and gear. And she goes to all of my big races. She'll go collect my bike at an Ironman because I'll be out on the run. She'll go get my bike. But more close to home, she will ask me on any given day, how was your workout? And that's kind of a veiled way of saying, did you work out? So here, she's not a coach. She's not a triathlete herself, but she understands that the consistency of getting up and working out, she knows, if I'm still in the bed at 7 o'clock, I probably haven't done my workout. Right. And or she'll check my, why are you eating that double ice cream scoop? She won't be, be high pressure, but she is a check for me. So I just wanted to touch on that. I think that, especially if you have a partner or someone that you have, that I think is a huge tool to have someone who can help to hold you accountable. And one other thing I want to touch on this, Dave, and I think that's a great idea in terms of finding others. This is where I think that the generations today are so fortunate, because although I sometimes feel bombarded by all the information we're giving, all the emails, all of the social media.
Right.
What they do have, the children of a good friend of mine, we were asking about something, and they said, just Google it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you can. They looked at us and said, Google knows everything. I'm like, I guess they're not wrong. It's the combined, knowledge of the entire world. But where they have an advantage, or where they have, where we have advantage now, is we can find people who have done what we want to do on things like YouTube. On things like Google, we can ask questions. Now, granted, it is the internet, and we have to be somewhat careful that we don't just all in, just take everything, because most people on the internet are trying to sell you something, which is fine. But you can find resources that will talk you through some of the things, like investing. Once we get into that, you can look up how to do certain investment strategies or saving strategies, but certainly debt reduction strategies. You and I have talked in the past about Dave Ramsey, who is a no-nonsense kind of meat and potatoes, I think would be a good reference in terms of get your financial life together. Stop messing around. And the way to do that is here. We start with getting out of a hole. Stop digging and getting out of a hole. So yeah, going and finding others, whether it be in your personal life or whether it be using the many resources that are available to us, I think it's a fantastic approach.
Yeah. And when you find something, go into it eyes wide open. You've got to make sure that it applies to your life and your lifestyle and your particular goals. Yeah. Don't just blindly follow someone else's strategy, because it has to fit you.
It's a good point. It's the best point. I mean, it's all going to be personal, but you do have to start somewhere. Start with your situation, figure out where you are, like we've talked about in previous episodes, and then start setting goals and checking them off, write them down. So, no, that's fantastic. I think we've touched on the core of how to set goals and even given some examples on, what that looks like in long and short term. So just to kind of recap what we talked about today, we need goals because I think they give us a picture. So why do we need goals? We have a picture. We have a something concrete that we're shooting for. So without goals, like the old saying goes, if you don't know where you're going, any road will do.
Right.
In sports, whether it be football, whether it be basketball, whether it be soccer, there's something at the end of that fight that you're going through for 100 yards or the length of a basketball court or the length of a pitch, and their goals. Their goals set at either end, and your objective is to reach that goal. So the same is true with your financial life. We need goals because they give us something to shoot for, something concrete. And as we reach these goals and as we reach interim goals, they help us in a mental and emotional way by making things, giving us a feeling of accomplishment and that we're moving forward. Now, of course, everything we've talked about in this podcast has been about if we're not happy with where we are, or we are happy with where we are, but still want to move forward, this is how we do that. And then finally, setting goals using, you know, how do we create these goals? You gave that great acronym, Dave, SMART goals: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. This gives us a framework with how to create the goals that we're shooting for. So we create those goals, we write them down so that we have something physical to reference, something we can post, something we can use to track how we're making progress to our goals. I think that covers it. Any other comments before we leave this wonderful topic, sir?
No, I think that's good. I think we hit it. I think I might try to run a triathlon this afternoon.
Well, if you need somebody, one, who's been there, and two, who can hold you accountable. I mean, we're in different cities, so I can't, you know, don't make me call your wife and be like, hey, is he up? What did he eat today?
Go find my bike.
Yeah. Get the dust off the bike. Get the rust off the bike.
That's it. All right, kid.
Well, Dave, thanks a lot for your time again today. Look forward to our next discussion, and we'll see you then.
Awesome. Take care.
Take care, bye-bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please be sure to visit our website at www.keepitpodcast.com. That's www.keepitpodcast.com. There you'll find links to websites and blogs related to building wealth and other useful information. You can also leave comments about our show and listen to or download all our shows after they air. Also, as a reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as financial advice, as we do not know your specific circumstances and are not your fiduciaries. Please consult with your personal financial advisor before making any investments or financial decisions. Thanks again. And we'll see you next time. In the meantime, remember, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.